Hey, this is Kate Rhodes from Congratulations Pine Tree. We don't have a new episode for you this week. Instead, for the new year, we wanted to give you some poems to contemplate. The first poem is Four Walls by Tongo Eisen Martin, then Singular by Maxine Chernoff, and then a poem by Brandon Brown that he'll introduce himself. I bootlegged all of these from the internet, and there are links in the underworld if you want to see more stuff. So take a little listen, read more poetry in 2019.
A lot of God can happen in 3 seconds. Not much heaven, though. Here is a man before a fight. A leave me alone type character, emerging from the penniless death of a one-way street fiction. That's just a fancy way of saying I'm going to make it, even if I have to drive backwards. All I have is chord changes and 1,000 backhands. Driving the street like I'm choking it. Car full of nephews. There hasn't been a sun since November, and there hasn't been a street I can't choke to death. This city better back down. You see this gun on the table? And something about staring until it all feels stable. Why wouldn't I protect everyone on my death, sleep late? My son better be quick. My daughter better shoot first, because see, we fold for no one. You know, we fold for nothing. Okay, the first thing you'll feel is a heat, this lady would tell me, telling me about possession. Drink life meat is what I'm mostly hearing. Most of the world leaves me alone to breathe smog like a giant, to go to jail every once in a while when the genocide kicks up in late May, when politicians have too easy a time. I'm gassing backwards out of one-way street in honor of myself and in honor of you, if you understand the nature of the world. And how long I've been just like my father. One hell of a resemblance, says the anxiety of the neighborhood. This is Crossroads, a Crossroads narrative. So much Crossroads, they get in the habit of turning back. Turn back only to find themselves remembering me. But not my last words, a man before a fight. You feel the heat. But there's nothing to keep in mind. There's nothing to remember. Really, there's nothing to be. Just this moment, then another, then stare, then it all becomes stable. Then the table legs go fuzzy and Friday's an unfamiliar face peeking in the window. It's cool to panic for a second. Composure is wasted on your worst enemies. People are marked on that sidewalk. You're the only thing life size. Everybody knows this in a wire hanger empire. When the blood stops walking, that feeling isn't father enough to be permission to fold. You better swing one more time. That father of yours rose from the grave and said, just give me 5 more minutes. He said, running water is a myth. It's us who are running up, down, and all alongside this water. And people don't rise from the grave. They're not laid down neither. It's us who flip all around their bodies. So beware when the people around you all look like they're about to jump. It might be your time. You'll feel the heat. And when four walls demand to be four walls, and the earth outside mutes, don't panic. Don't try to recreate the earth outside. Don't tell jokes to yourself. Don't even talk disrespectfully to the four walls. Instead, unclench your fist and walk away. There might be heaven, if you understand the nature of the world. Thank you.
This is called Singular. Starts with two quotes, one from Whitman, Death's Outlet of Life, Outlet Song of Life, and Emerson, every man should be as much an artist that he could report in conversation what has befallen him. High-mindedness is a construct of mind and its metals, its iron and zinc, its blue mercury. It is a waste to consider how we relate to the human condition. We are the human condition in cotton and lace and charms that fit in thimbles. We are broken and fixed. We are mended and torn. We are the underlining of the soft bellies of kangaroos crossed with examination books. We tell jokes that aren't funny and laugh with our eyes closed. When we open them, someone has died and another been born. We praise Jove, we praise Allah, we praise the markdowns at the Nordstrom Rack, where a handsome young woman is weeping into her hands. We praise the immaterial essence of clouds that resemble your uncle on Wednesday. We praise the material grace of your hand on my collarbone, soft in its landing. We are unkind to our neighbors. We cheat on our friends. We are witnesses to the first bee in the jasmine we planted at noon. We are witnesses to the harms of a life and its slow repetition that leads to new beauty. We travel to see peasants enact old rituals that we would find foolish in our own doorways. We are peasants as well under our skirts and children and finally fools. Who knows the height of a well-built arch or the dimensions for travel to Mars? If you fly there, you cannot return. There are those who will fly there. I've heard them on a show discuss how they'll grieve for irises and children and the small, fond expressions of those whom they love. We all leave cathedrals in ashes and bony candles burnt to their wicks. We all leave nothing we wanted and everything we did in that of an in-between state of a small conversation involving the beauty of spires. We are not jugglers. Planes fall and leaves too, and nothing that crashes or lands without sound gets repaired. Our ankles have sight of the horizon of small endings. We look forward to more as we leave more behind. When my mother was dying, she asked, "Will I live?" I remember the silence as she turned from our silence to make herself ready. The quiet of an afternoon in a room where light and sound were present, but respectful. I remember the quiet later that day as we stood alone with her. Absent at last, she withdrew with a tact, save for endings. Please save me from all that I know must follow. Please give me a book or a song or a look that means less.
So I'm going to read part of the last poem in this book, Flowering Mole. And it's a translation of this late piece by Baudelaire. It's really bad. It's a really bad piece of writing that he did. And it's in this book. Well, it's not that bad. It has good things about it. Anyway. So the book is called it's not a book. This work of his is called Fusées. And that often gets translated as rockets. But in my thing, it's fireworks. Oh yeah, and so it has these two epigraphs, and they're both from television shows. Fireworks. That's what we're selling, Lemon. Spectacle. The Romans knew it. Louis Couture's knew it. Wolfowitz knows it. That's Jack Donaghy from 30 Rock. And then the second's from Buffy and Buffy the Vampire Slayer. If the apocalypse comes, then beat me. The world is coming to an end, and all I hear are fireworks bursting in air like, what's that song? Fuck, I hate fireworks. Like, the only thing worse than fireworks are real bombs, which is aggravatingly platonic, I know. And it's a terrible paradigm for translation. It'd be like saying the only thing worse than Baudelaire's poem, Fusées 22, is my translation of Fusées 22. An awful and sort of true paradigm. Sort of true, like everything awful. Like, my friend died and I watched Brokeback Mountain and stared at tuna. Outside, fireworks streak the sky. A violent display of celebration. Excessive antithesis to my stupefied, untranslatable grief. It's like getting fucked on September 11th. Awesome. Morose. Unforgettable. The world is coming to an end, but that's just grammatical certainty coming again to bear on temporal contingency. The world is closing. The sentence is closing. The poem is closing. The mall, the video store, the bookstore is closing. And yet, everything seems open for business, entrenched as stasis amidst collapse. Like, did you ever see Dirty Harry 2 Magnum Force? Okay, well, it's a good film. But in the beginning, you know, the opening sequence is like a gun, with a hand and a gun in profile for, it feels like 20 to 25 minutes, you know, just, and then it slowly turns toward you. Well, anyway, in the poem it says, it's like Dirty Harry's finger on the trigger in the opening sequence of Magnum Force. And ambient stability, blah, blah, blah. It's like looking at a ship moored in glimmering bay water. I stand on the pier and throw pesos as far as I can toward its rotten lee. That would have been me, skimming the moss, because a few weeks after September 11th, I went to defenestrate myself from the horror of Lumpenbourgeois romantic reversal. I was half rich, all miserable, hysterical about my beautiful misery and how much I wanted it to die. Do amoebas want to get tickled or just take a nap? What do you think? When I was 10, I called a record store in the city to ask if they had a copy of the first Guns N' Roses EP, Live Like a Suicide. I called with the inchoate fever that follows the encounter of a life-changing piece of art. So Appetite for Destruction gave me an appetite for cultural mastery over the oeuvre of Guns N' Roses. A male voice answered. I said, "Do you have Live Like a Suicide by Guns N' Roses?" He said, "Do you mean Live Like a Suicide? We don't have that." I went into white mourning. Now, okay, that sounds like a snobby move on his part, and it kind of was, but he was doing me a favor. It's like the first time I ordered a Café Avec Crème in Paris, and I pronounced it cream, to which the waiter oozed back, crème. Anyway, both pronunciations of Live Like a Suicide affect a melodramatic paradox, like a scalding avalanche. So a few days after I didn't jump my ribs into glass, Steve Silberman saw me on Cole Street and told me I was too young to commit suicide. I could do it when I was 40. I vaguely understood that my amoebal psyche hadn't earned its death drive. God, what if I had done it? I never would have met Allie or any of you. Never seen Bridesmaids. Okay, and then this part, it has sounds of explosions, which I am not very good at, but maybe someone else can help. Like, yeah, you know. Thank you. Bombs of sheer report, or bombs that make minimalist paintings. We hear gunshots any time of year, and Ali or I would say, fireworks? A classic joke to distract us from the aural prompt to sensible fear. If you're gonna have cotton mouth for your whole life, it's fair to ask, why live? To go into business to humiliate your dad? To revenge your abrasive and pathetic childhood by fucking someone for a pendant? Anyway, I can't qualify for a small business loan, and I haven't seen a pendant flash in several weeks. It's like my wealth, massive as it is, still knows pixel precarity. The rulers are fashioning a rhetoric of hope, and my Marxist friends are doing the same. They're hoping that the historically murderous firecracker known as capitalism has an abbreviating fuse, is about to burst and sift into ash, and I hope it bursts too. But then afterwards, I want to meet you all for brunch, and like, I want you to put like a ton of syrup over eggy wheat. Which I know makes me quite simply a vestigial, conflicted, complacent neoliberal pig. I'm working on it. Thanks you guys for listening.